Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load. Sometimes it's a wrong piece of terminology to talk about the gun control debate. Gun control advocates, there's no real debating with them. They seem to loathe to engage with their pro-Second Amendment counterparts in any sort of a discussion that's a back and forth. Maybe that's because they know they don't have a great argument, or perhaps it's because they don't want to do anything that risks legitimizing, from their point of view anyway, support for the right to keep and bear arms. Whatever the reason, it is a truly rare event to see representatives from both sides of the cultural and political divide over guns actually take part in a two-way conversation. So, recently, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Dr. John Lott debated University of Texas law professor Sanford Levinson. And the question was whether or not the Second Amendment was a mistake. Now, as you might well imagine, John Lott staked out the position that the right to keep and bear arms is a very good thing, asking the audience if they could name a place in the world that banned all handguns or firearms in general and saw its homicide rates decline. He said, "You just think just out of randomness, once or twice a ban on guns leads to a decrease, but every single time it's gone up." Now, for his part, Levinson, who was one of the first law professors in the past 40 years to acknowledge the Second Amendment means what it says, didn't exactly argue that the Second Amendment was a mistake, so much as it is out of date and out of step with modern society. He said the Second Amendment is in the Constitution in the first place because of the suspicion that the national government would become tyrannical. You need the possibility of an aroused public that could take up arms and overthrow a tyrannical government. It has nothing to do with self-defense against criminals. I agree with him on that one. It has nothing to do with the self-defense against criminals. It's actually a very nice sort of unintended consequence that we can defend ourselves against criminals with weapons. And yes, it was against protection. It was protection against tyranny, not protection against home invaders. But I would argue that the reason individual self-defense wasn't a factor in the debate over the Second Amendment was that there was already widespread acknowledgement that a right to self-defense existed. And no one seriously or even unseriously suggesting that the right extended only the use of bare hands while prohibiting bearing arms to protect individuals. Levinson, who says he's in favor of a new constitutional convention to update our framework of government, concluded his remarks by saying that if he agreed with Lott about the benefits of gun ownership, he would ask conservatives a serious question. Should they support governmental programs that would supply guns at low or no cost to people who can't afford them? That's also a really good question. I mean, I would be for that. He said, if you really do care about the vulnerable and believe in addition that the vulnerable are the major losers from restrictive gun laws, then it seems to me that one would support a new liberal democratic program to put guns in the hands of all vulnerable people who cannot now afford to buy first-rate or even second-rate firearms through the market. Now, you could honestly tweak the civilian marksmanship program to supply firearms at cost or very little markup to those in the lower rungs of our economic ladder, and I'd be good with it. But Lott had another suggestion. Make firearms more affordable by getting rid of the government fees that price some people out of exercising their Second Amendment rights. He said in Washington, D.C., where they're voting on a lot of this stuff, it costs $125 to do a background check on a private transfer of a firearm. He said that might not stop Sandy or I from being able to get a gun, but that's just the cost of the background check. He also noted that D.C. law requires a separate background check on every gun, even if multiple firearms are being sold to the same buyer. Cutting the red tape and bureaucratic nonsense that anti-gun lawmakers have erected as a barrier between citizens and their Second Amendment rights might not make firearms accessible to every law-abiding American, but it would go a long way towards allowing every eligible citizen access to their Second Amendment rights. Now, all in all, it was actually a pretty decent debate between Lott and Levinson, and while I think Lott had the better argument, it's still interesting to hear Levinson's point of view. Now, here's the thing. Levinson is obviously of the belief that this current government is not tyrannical at the moment. And that's because he's an academic. Because the government is doing a lot of things he probably supports at the moment. Academics do not support free speech. Academics do not support personal property. Academics do not support true equality. They support equity. Equality means you have a right to fail. And that does happen. People do fail. Not everybody is a success. Getting out there and mandating that everybody be a success is not going to work. And I just find it interesting that he can be right on so many points here. Give guns to people that can't afford to have them if they're law abiding. Absolutely, same criteria that applies to me and everybody else right now today that can afford them should apply to everybody that can't afford them if they can make the if they're a law abiding American, right? They're not a felon and all the other things that prohibit you from buying a gun. Sure, give them to them, or make them where they can afford it. I got no issue with that. I wonder what his point he was trying to make, because what he was trying to say was poor people are violent people. That's what he was trying to say, and he was talking about black people. So, once again, gun control rears up its head as the racist thing that it is. He was trying to walk through that very delicately. I haven't actually seen anybody assign that to it, but that's where all gun control comes from, is racism. I, myself, think that every living soul that is not a criminal should have a weapon. I have always thought that. I'm not likely to change my mind anytime soon. On the other hand, Dr. John Lott just went out and did something that not many people get a chance to do, and he won it. So maybe you go to his website, Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearchcenter.org, or crimeresearch.org. I think that's the website. Let me double-check that. Before we go away, crimeresearch.org is the website. Go chip in a few bucks. Help Dr. Lott do his work, because he does it purely on donations. This guy is not getting paid by anybody, because nobody in government's going to pay him. He was working for government there for a minute, and they kicked him out as soon as Joe Biden took office. Because we can't stand having all that honesty out there now, can we? Oh, no. Not at all. Oh, goodness gracious. Never ceases. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. The debate in gun politics is perennial. It's always ongoing. It makes very specious arguments claiming the Second Amendment protects muskets and not the modern firearm, and that the right to keep and bear arms belongs to a select militia like the National Guard, not we the people, and that well-regulated authorizes the de facto destruction of our rights via regulation. But that's not what, you know. I've been all over vernacular in the days that this was written, well-regulated meant well-trained and out and similarly outfitted. Not a bunch of rules. But that's all beside the point. You and I, because we've either studied them or we've been told about them, we know that these arguments are nonsense. We know that the right to keep and bear arms is not dependent on militia service. The militia, as we know it in their vernacular, did not exist prior to the Revolutionary War. Not to the degree, not the Continental Army that it became. And as soon as the war was over, most everybody went home that survived. We know that the right extends to modern arms, much like the First Amendment is applicable to computers today, to typewriters today. Whatever the means of putting word to medium, whether it's a quill pen to parchment or, you know, a computer or something, writing it down and printing it, we understand that works that way. We know that well-regulated means of proper working order, not choking off that right while pretending to nurture it. Now, we get this insight offered from an uncommon source. The retranslation into English of founding era documents originally translated into German. The following that I'm about to tell you about is the abstract from an academic paper published in the American Journal of Legal History by Brandon Kinney, a well-outfitted militia German-American translations of the Second Amendment and original public meaning. This article seeks to uncover the original public meaning of the Second Amendment by scrutinizing unusual and previously unexamined sources, the German-American translations of the Bill of Rights during the founding era. These offer a unique perspective of political culture. Using six German-American translations of the founding era, this article argues that the public understanding of the Second Amendment during the founding era was one that recognized the individual right to own firearms for individual use unconnected to militia service, as well as a constitutional endorsement of an armed population as the best bulwark to preserve the liberty of the national people. Though the exact texts of the translations differ across publishers and states, they retain thematic and syntactic similarities that suggest a public consensus over the meaning of the text. The notion that the Second Amendment protects an individual right rather than a collective one is borne out by additional translations as well into the mid-19th century. Printers adjusted their translations of the amendment after the militia as a military institution had fallen into disuse, but preserved or strengthened the clause protecting the individual right to arms rather than letting it fall silent. And you can get this paper online, but it explains the words. A comparison of the translations reveals three striking similarities. First, each utilizes the word Volk for people, which by the Enlightenment had come to imply a nationalist or political categories of secular documents. Second, each introduces a conjunction to the beginning of each clause, which taken together pushed the rhetorical emphasis to the second clause, the rights clause. Third, the majority of the texts translate well-regulated as Vol or Gut ein Gerät, meaning that the militia is well-furnished, well-outfitted, or well-equipped, rather than being subjected to government oversight or disciplined in the contemporaneous nomenclature. Given the numerous alternatives to translating the English text, the fact that these independently embrace these major elements suggests a consensus understanding of the context and meaning. So, it states the following. After analyzing these interpretive similarities, this research makes the following contentions. The original public meaning of the Second Amendment indicated an understanding of both an individual right to keep and bear arms, as well as a declarative statement on the militia that had no limiting effect on the individual right. So put another way, the first clause, the militia clause, does not create a condition for the second clause. Instead, it declares an axiom as understood by the framers, a well-established and well-outfitted militia, which was broadly defined as the entirety of the national populace, is necessary to securing a free nation. And to support this, the amendment subsequently recognizes the individual right to keep and bear private arms because the militia is made possible by private arms rather than the other way around. And with the publication of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution endorsed an armed citizenry as the best possible defense of a nation's liberties rather than making the individual ownership contingent on the continued use of a militia. Gun controllers like to repeat what Berger said in support of their cute creative collective rights theory. He said, the gun lobby's interpretation of the Second Amendment is one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American people by special interest groups that I've ever seen in my lifetime. But his claim is nothing but more but an argument by assertion. And repeating it doesn't make it right. Brandon Kinney's paper is out there. It's very insightful. It supports the existing evidence of the standard individual rights interpretation. It is a unique perspective that will help you further the intellectual defense of our right to keep and bear our arms. And, you know, we need to hat tip Mr. Kenny for this. I find it interesting we had to find this in German translations. But this is the way of things, isn't it? It is. It's the way of things. Not surprising, though. It's not surprising. The nation would not exist as it does today if it were not for regular people who heard the call to arms and pushed aside their plow and picked up their rifle and headed out the door and headed to where the fighting was. They understood what was at stake, and they understood what they needed to do in order to maintain what for them was the American dream. They were on their land, making their own way, creating their own sustenance, defending their homestead. And the British, well, the British, they are, you know, they were coming to take all that away. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court deliberating on whether Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution for actions he took while in office, focusing on federal election interference charges. Here's special counsel attorney Michael Dreeben.
The framers knew too well the dangers of a king who could do no wrong. They therefore devised a system to check abuses of power, especially the use of official power for private gain.
Trump's attorney argued that prosecuting a president for official acts is incompatible with the Constitution. Economic growth in the U.S. during the first quarter of the year was significantly slower than expected. The Commerce Department's latest figures show the gross domestic product increased by just 1.6%, short of the forecast of 2.4%. And San Diego has become the top city for illegal immigrant arrivals at the southern border for the first time since the late 90s, surpassing Tucson, Arizona. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. It is quite refreshing sometimes when you look out there. A lot of the things that happen in legislative process is all due to the fact of the way they bake things into bills. They'll get out there and they'll call a bill called they'll have a bill called the Water Preservation Act. And 90% of what's in the bill has nothing to do with water preservation, but all of these things get attached to it, that these have to be voted on too, and the person whoever wrote the original water preservation bill, who's, you know, most people in Congress don't really write that many bills. I think Maxine Waters, who's been in for 20-some-odd years, she's had three bills passed, and two of those have been renaming post offices. So that's not, she's not exactly a legislative juggernaut, nor are any of them. None of them really seem to do too much of nothing along those lines. Now, no telling how many things get started that never get there. Then, of course, when you have a president who's in the middle of a bunch of mental decline, well, some things are going to happen. And recently, gun grabber in chief Joe Biden signed a bill that reversed a policy that has been infringing on gun rights for more than a quarter century. Now, earlier this month, Congress approved a package of legislation to fund various government agencies that corrects a long-standing and shameful practice that had been depriving American veterans of their Second Amendment rights since 1998. This was all begun by the NRA in Better Days to ensure that members of the military with service-connected disabilities could collect the benefits they had earned without fear of forfeiting the right to keep and bear arms. Now, because the Republicans had presented a bill in order to keep the government going, and now they had been the ones to where they now passed the ball to where if the government shuts down, it's now on Biden. Biden had to sign the bill, but he was very angry over that pro-gun provision and the so-called minibus package, but he signed it into law. And the department, this particular gun ban is a case study of how anti-gun officials exploit seemingly benign government programs to advance their objectives. Now, first of all, most of the people that they were going after were not gun buyers. Okay? They were not gun buyers. These are older veterans who really don't manage too much of their day-to-day lives at all. They become wards of the state in that now the VA takes just about total care of them. Although they do still have money coming because they have pensions and benefits and all kinds of other stuff, because that's one of the reasons you sign up for this stuff. And it became to where, under Obama, it got to the point where if you just had trouble keeping your checkbook right, if you had to have a financial fiduciary put in place to handle your financial affairs, which I don't know. I mean, that really is a veteran that is really out there alone without any loved ones with him anymore. This guy's truly alone in the world. Then you are automatically reported to the NICS system as mentally deficient. And so what we did was we created another list of people, another list of prohibited people that couldn't buy guns. Every time one of those things is created, it just makes it more and more common for people to be put on a list of various, you know, no-fly list of this list of that list. Whatever it is, prohibited person can't buy a gun. That was one of the ways that you pass pretty much de facto gun bans, by putting people on a list where they can't buy a gun. Now, federal law passed in 1968 prohibits the possession of or acquisition of firearms by a person who's been adjudicated as a mental defective. And the main enforcement mechanism is the NICS, which didn't even exist when this was written in the law in 1968. NICS contains records provided by states and the federal government of people who are prohibited by law from possessing guns. So they have the various lists in place about what makes you prohibited. Now, in a 1973 appellate court opinion on the meaning of the archaic language, the term mental defective refers to a person who has never possessed a normal degree of intellectual capacity and does not refer generally to mental illness or mental insanity. But the ATF in 1979 passed a regulation interpreting this law to apply to a determination by a court, board, commission, or other lawful authority that a person, as a result of marked subnormal intelligence or mental illness, incompetency, condition, or disease, lacks the mental capacity to contract or manage his own affairs. So the ATF was the one that decided to add all of these other things to it. Now, the VA administers a system of benefits for veterans with service-connected disabilities. And their own regulation allows those benefits to be received by a fiduciary on the beneficiary's behalf if the VA determines the beneficiary to be incompetent to manage his or her finances. And that's made by VA officials, most without any special mental health training. They just, you know, what'd you do with your check? You went out and bought a bunch of Slim Jims and some lotto tickets? Okay, yeah, you're mentally defective. The only issue in the VA's incompetency proceeding is the individual's capacity to contract or to manage his or own affairs, including disbursement of funds. It does not require a finding the beneficiary is dangerous to self or others, gravely mentally ill, suicidal, detached from reality, etc. So, a VA finding of incompetency in this context doesn't have a lot of legal effect. It does not preclude the beneficiary from having his or her own bank account or entering into legally binding contracts. So, looking at that, you would say, well, this is sort of gerrymandering, you know, cherry picking this stuff here. The point is simply to ensure that if the person needs help managing finances, the VA benefits go to someone who can provide that help, usually someone within the beneficiary's own family or household chosen by the beneficiary himself or herself. But since 1998, during the administration of Bill Clinton, they have been reporting beneficiaries who've been assigned these fiduciaries to NICS as mental defectives. Now, this used to occur without any notification to the beneficiary. The government considered him or her legally prohibited from possessing firearms. And that's because in most cases, they weren't. You know, as far as they when I say they weren't buying them. You know, they were you know, elderly people that had other issues as well. Now, that highly bureaucratic process is seldomly invoked and even more seldomly successful. But for every attempt to try to get the Second Amendment right, they denied every such petition for that. So the upshoot of this is that Joe Biden has basically, with one, you know, signing one document, he has gotten rid of that. Which tells me he really didn't mean to do that. I would have to guess he really did not mean to do that. But at the same time, he was put in a position that he had really no way to get out of. So from a legislative standpoint, that was a work of beauty. From a gun rights standpoint, this is something that has been a long time coming. And it hasn't gotten, we talk about it here and there, but it hasn't really gotten that much out of it. And that's because of who it affects. You know, it's not really affecting people that are out there gearing up and tooling up right now today. But every time they create one of these things, and there's no consequence for creating it, it becomes a, you know, now they're on to the next one. You know, the no-fly list or whatever, you know, whatever they're going to put you on. Most people that are on the no-fly list don't even know they're on it. And if you don't know you're on it, how do you get out of it? We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
Last time on the firing line, this is Lock and Load. I'm going to go over this very well-tread path already simply because it bears a little bit more, in my estimation, a little bit more examination. Now, not too long ago, Stephen Dettelbach, the director of the ATF, he renewed their time-honored practice of whining to the very complicit media about the plight of the revenue man, you know. So he sat down for a lengthy interview with CBS's Margaret Brennan for Face the Nation. Brennan also received a very dubious lesson in firearm operation and handling from Dettelbach and Chris Bort, the acting chief of ATF's Firearm and Ammunition Technology Division. You can find these on YouTube if you want to go find these, the full versions. Of course, then you're going to find out that Chris Bort doesn't know how to take apart a Glock. And he's getting paid the big bucks. A key complaint from ATF is how the agency's National Tracing Center is required to operate within the law. Which, that seems like an odd sentence to say. We're law enforcement and we don't like the way we have to operate within the law. The structure of this is to prevent the creation of a federal firearm registry. Federal law requires those who purchase a firearm at a gun dealer to fill out a form 4473. That is then stored by the federal firearms licensee on their premises. And this creates a system. If the gun is found at a crime scene, they can trace the firearm to the last retail purchase, whatever that does for it, right? However, since the records are stored with each FFL, the system is decentralized in a manner that protects against government abuse of gun owner data. Now, this understanding was at the heart of the debate over the Gun Control Act of 1968. In 1985, Senator James McClure explained the central compromise of the Gun Control Act of 1968, this sine qua non for the entry of the federal government into any form of firearm regulation was this. Records concerning gun ownership would be maintained by dealers, not by the federal government, and not by the state and local governments. So this was written into the law of 1968. And this is very cumbersome to Director Dettelbach. Brennan asked Biden's ATF director, the ATF is prohibited by law from creating a centralized database of registered gun owners. So that means there are actual physical records that have to be sorted through, right? How big of an impediment is that to actually stopping gun traffickers? Well, Here's what you have to understand about that. Most of the really big, serious gun trafficking that goes on today is done by the ATF. Or it's done by the federal government. The United States sells more small arms in a month than any gun trafficker could ever do in his entire life. As a cynic, knowing certain things about the government as I do, there are certain things that are realities. Like sometimes it's better to have somebody that is not connected to the federal government doing that. But anytime you see it in mass, like we did say with Fast and Furious, which was just 2,000 guns. And you're like, oh, Bill, 2,000 guns, that's a lot. Well, no, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what the United States sells. Look at all the stuff we have done with Ukraine. We don't even know where it went. Look at what's going on. I think the Pentagon has not been audited in like 10 years. The DOD has not been audited in 10 years. And there's some people saying there's like trillions of dollars in this and that material missing. Where'd that go? Who got it? So, right off the bat, when you look at it this way, they're not going to make the kind of big cases that they think they would make or that they profess that they would make by looking at me and you. Because we're nothing. We're small potatoes. Dettelbach said, the way it doesn't happen is we punch in a person's name. And up comes, oh, they own so many guns. Congress has prohibited us from doing that. So instead we have a system of records where we can, where we have to go through those records. Every year we probably get in. First of all, we don't have all the records. The gun dealers keep the records, most of them. If they go out of business, they send us to us millions and millions a month. And we have to keep them in. I'm the only customer. ATF is of Adobe Acrobat. We pay somebody to take out search function to remove search function that other customers have in order to comply with the congressional notion that there can't be a gun registry. The law that there can't be a gun registry in the United States. It's not a notion, it's a law, and we comply with it. That means that we have to work within that system. That means we have more people there pouring through records. Then they get to the bump stock where, Brennan asked why Congress and the Biden administration didn't act to prohibit the items. Brennan said, but why didn't the Biden administration seek to put into law, you know, for the Biden administration? So why didn't the Biden administration seek to do that? And so he appeared as if he was trying to conflate the bump stock controversy with their ability to regulate actual machine guns. And referring to a green auto series using as a prop, he stated, we have a broader issue, right, with machine guns in this country that I will tell you is returning. You asked me about things that I think are really concerning for public safety, but it's not just bump stocks, right? All over the streets in the United States, every police chief tells me that the pounding sort of jackhammer-like sound of machine gun fire is returning to our streets, and bump stocks is one. I'll show you another one, right? So this little piece of plastic, so this case before the Supreme Court, you know it's pending. So I don't know how much more I can talk about it, but the issue of bump is more than bump stocks. Well, you know, this is what happens when you quote somebody. The way they ramble is just out there. Now, at the moment, no one's contesting the ATF statutory authority to regulate auto sears. Federal law defines a machine gun as any weapon which shoots, is designed to shoot, or can be readily restored to shoot automatically more than one shot without manual reloading by a single function of the trigger. The term shall also include the frame or receiver of any such weapon, any part designed and intended solely and exclusively, or a combination of parts designed and intended for use in converting a weapon into a machine gun, and any combination of parts from which a machine gun can be assembled if such parts are in the possession or under the control of a person. Auto sears are designed and intended to convert a firearm to shoot automatically, pulling the trigger once. Bump stocks are enhanced semi-automatic fire. It's pushing your finger off the trigger, and then your finger falls back on it. And that's all based on how you're holding the gun. You have to exert pressure front and back. So without that, it just doesn't happen. To our credit, Brennan eventually sought to clarify just what he was talking about, asking the little green nub, is that illegal? He said, yes. And Brennan asked, do you need Congress to write a law specific to these innovations? And he said, to that one, no. So as long as he's conceding the federal law enforcement already has the power to prosecute those who possess and use unregistered auto sears, he should work to ensure that Biden's U.S. attorneys are aware of that fact. Brennan also pushed against the whole idea of about the death of children. And she pointed out, this is kids and teenagers, which Dettelbach said yes. So basically, gang members, she was getting to that point. He described a 75-round AK drum magazine as a 75-round clip, which he's supposed to be a specialist in firearms, which he isn't. And then Bort could not take apart a Glock. And after he failed to disassemble that one, he was able to disassemble a second one, and he then attempted to place the removed slide assembly on a finished unserialized firearm frame, and that didn't work out. So he also, Dettelbach doesn't like cash firearm purchases because then we have no way to know who you are and what you bought. And he talks about all the things that happened on the border and everything else. That was the whole thing behind Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious was put in place to where if you bought more than 3 guns, they had to notify you. And even though Fast and Furious came out and even though everybody became aware of what they were doing, they passed that rule anyway. So, once again, ATF. ATF and their fun propaganda on display with the regime media. You can find it on YouTube if you want to go have a good laugh. As for me, I'll be back in about 21 hours. And between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins spanning across decades is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.